Welcome to the Premium Way podcast, a space where premium is not reduced to aesthetics or price tags, but understood as identity, as a way of life. In here, we operate at the intersection of psychology, perception, strategy, leadership, and the invisible signals that decide who gets chosen, trusted, and remembered. Our philosophy? Ditch the stereotypes. Ditch the idea that premium has only one face. Premium was never meant to be sterile. It was meant to be rich in character, reflective of your true core and your dream buyer's deepest desires. Like the finest wine, layered, complex, unique, unmistakable to those who know what they are tasting. Refined without losing its edge, unafraid to be different, and impossible to confuse with anything else. This is the room where the ordinary stops applying. This is where standards are set, not followed, and where premium stops being something that you chase and becomes something you embody. This is your permission slip to succeed your way. I'm your host, Yasmin, and this is The Premium Way. Episode 5 is coming in with one of the hottest, most burning topics, and that is the topic of price raises. I want to raise my price. How do I get people to pay me more? How do I assert this new price without objections, in the best case, without any friction, smooth, seamlessly, and the premium way? And this is what we're going to talk about today. Now, the very common advice, and that is nothing that I'm going to give you in this episode, because what one of my major goals and missions with this podcast is to redefine how things are taught, to redefine especially how premium and luxury are taught, how sales and marketing are taught, how branding is taught. Because yes, there is a lot of validity to the common principles and tactics, but I also, after a decade of studying this, applying it, experiencing it, seeing what works and what doesn't, and how things can also work outside of common mass market tactics, I have found so many gaps or half-truths or limitations when it comes to what's being taught in the books. I live and breathe marketing consciously ever since a decade, as mentioned. But even my very first job in retail, when I was, I think, 14 years old, I always approached and understood customer experience, client experience, and sales differently. And that led to my customers' baskets being full to the brim versus others really fought for selling to people. And for years, I've been thinking about, how did I always sell so effortlessly? And this is what the premium way is about, the premium way is for, and what really drove me to start this podcast and share my knowledge, my wisdom, my experience with you, so you can do it differently. You can free yourself from the shackles of common mass marketing tactics. Because what I also always say is that marketing books are being treated like a Bible. But we got to keep in mind that at a certain point, it was also only a human that decided this is the principle, this is the rule now. And ever since, everyone's following it because that person had authority or has authority. But we want to be mindful of the fact that we can always rewrite the rules and humanity evolves. And just because someone found out XYZ works doesn't mean that this will forever be and stay the only way. Otherwise, no more trailblazers and pioneers would be brought up and born into this world if we were limited to what people found out before us. Now, let me not get carried away. Okay, price raises, one of the most yummy, delicious topics. And who am I to talk about price raises? Again, not only studies of over a decade, but also my own history, where I raised my prices by plus 6,192%. Yes, you've heard that right. I started out when I started my coaching business that I didn't even start intentionally back then. And I sold 6 weeks of one-on-one consultations with weekly calls, 24/7 WhatsApp access, a lot of resources, homework, availability always, and I charged 222 euros for that. 3.5 years later, I sold 6 months of one-on-one consultations for 55,000 euros, a year for 100,000 euros, and the rest is history, basically. And also my clients experienced jumps, like charging 1.5K US dollars per month when they started working with me. And over the course of our collaboration, they raised their prices to $10,000 a month for their one-on-one consultations. So that gives you enough pre-context to decide for yourself, is that someone that I want to listen to? Is that an episode that I want to listen to? And if so, you're welcome to stay and enjoy the goods. So the common advice that you get is raise your price, adapt your branding, make it more stereotypically luxury, and then kind of fake it till you make it, right? Perform confidence, hold the standard, hold the vision at all costs, don't give in, don't bend, and just manage your mindsets along the way and don't even engage with fear. But that's backwards. And I do have a different outlook, a rather uncommon outlook on price raises, because I'm not asking my clients to perform confidence that they don't have yet. And when we follow this common advice of raise the price and then make sure that you can kind of hold it energetically, that you're confident enough to hold it, then most people just raise their price and then panic discount the second someone hesitates or counter offer the actual offer that they've made because someone has brought up an objection or hesitation and they're like, oh, but you know what, we can also start off smaller, like we can also do this. Or the price is raised and held, but then you're over delivering out of guilt because you don't actually believe that it's worth it, or just want to make sure, quote unquote, that the client is satisfied. You think you need to justify that new price now. And so out of your own insecurity, out of your own wobble, you just throw goodie after goodie in, more over delivery than you actually planned to. And energetically, that dynamic kind of shifts into putting the client and the price on a pedestal and you worshiping at their feet. And out of panic, trying to make sure that everyone is satisfied. And we want neither of those scenarios. So my approach, my principle, my suggestion, my advice towards my clients when they come to me and they're like, Yasmin, how do I assert a price raise? How do I pursue that? How do I succeed with a price raise? Is that I tell them, don't raise your price until the internal inevitability is built or is there. What do I mean by that? Building the internal inevitability basically describes that when you raise your price, it's not that you decide the new price raise, and then you have to change in order to be a match for that price tag, in order to be able to hold it, but that you make the internal shifts that have the price raise become a natural byproduct, a side effect of your evolution, something you don't overthink, something you don't even blink twice about, something that is backed by this deep-rooted feeling of course, this is the new price. Anything lower wouldn't make sense. You see the difference. And I'm going to repeat it again, because that is the most important point. Commonly, it's taught when you work with a consultant, with a mentor, with a coach, and you say, hey, I want to move up market. I want to raise my price. They tell you raise the price, and then along the way, we figure out how to solidify that and solidify you. But then you raise the price before you raised yourself. As per my work, as per my approach, we raise your self-perception, solidity, energetic inevitability, so that you don't look up to that price raise and now think to yourself, oh, how can I match that level? But almost look down on your current price and you're like, that thing needs to come up here with me. That is the difference. And as per this principle that I'm so firm about, building the internal inevitability first. That makes the price raise a mere reflection of what's already true, what's already there. So we build the foundation before we add the top floor. Think about architecture. You can't build the top floor of a house if the basement and the actual ground floor weren't built, weren't established, weren't solidified. That doesn't work. And following this common advice is also why most price raises fail and never fully solidify, because many people are advised to raise their prices before they were energetically congruent with it, before they could actually hold it. So another advice from heart to heart, take it with a lot of discernment. When a service provider, your coach, your consultant, your mentor, tries to push you into a price raise. I've seen that often with my clients. Their mentors, their coaches, their consultants actually push them into and through price raises, kind of convince them to, without them actually being ready to hold that new price. And then guess what? It didn't succeed. Because they weren't congruent with it. They were wobbling. They couldn't hold it. And that scenario is very common. You probably know it yourself. You decide you're ready to charge more. You update your pricing. You announce it. Maybe you even get the first few inquiries and yeses. But then someone asks for a payment plan, for example, that is way longer than the payments that you have set in stone, quote unquote. And then you cave immediately. Or someone hesitates, you start justifying the price immediately. Or someone ghosts you after you drop the price. And then you spiral into making it something mean about yourself. And that shows clearly you raise the price, but you don't believe it yet. So you're performing confidence that you don't have, which makes your sales conversations exhausting and non-converting. And then the problem isn't about actually lacking sales skills. The problem is that you raised the price before you became the person who charges that price. Of course, you skipped the important, essential internal shift and went straight to the external change. And premium positioning doesn't work that way. Again, the link to the previous episodes. We become premium internally first before we assert premium on the outside. Now, what I also want to clarify is that when I say don't raise your price until the internal inevitability is there, I don't mean wait until you feel 100% confident and otherwise don't make any bigger moves. Don't stretch yourself. What I mean is don't assert the price raise until charging less than the new price would feel like self-betrayal. Would actually feel like what I described earlier, you looking down on the price, not putting the new price up and then trying to climb your way up to that. In order to match it, catch up to it. And that is also what very often happens when price raises come from ego. Now, what you really want to ask yourself is, are you raising your price because that is the only option? Because it is inevitable, really solidly inevitable not to raise your price? Or are you raising your price or wanting to raise your price because you resent the clients you're currently working with, or the work that you're doing that you don't feel well compensated for? When we raise our prices from a place of ego and resenting what currently is happening, that is going to make price raises way more difficult, because then, yet again, it's not coming out of love. Cue episode number one, if you haven't listened to that one. So you want to wait with the price raise until the gap between your price and your internal operating system creates actual dissonance. Until you fully feel solid and anchored into the fact that you have normalized and can provide a standard that your market hasn't yet normalized, can't provide yet, and you truly internally feel there is no other way than adjusting the price in order to have the price reflect the caliber that we operate at. So here are a few markers for you to know that you have crossed or are about to cross into a fully anchored internal inevitability. One, charging your old price feels like self-betrayal, feels like you're lying. It feels like that's not a win-win situation. It might only be a win for your client or your old audience that you feel like you've outgrown, which leads to number two, you're bored by the clients who can only afford your old offer and continuously hit you with limitations on why they can't land on their new level yet. Number three, you've stopped comparing yourself to people at your old price point. The reference point or points that you had before have upgraded as well. You no longer see the people that you deemed as your peers or even looked up to as someone who is ahead of you, but you're like, this is actually no longer a relevant reference point or even competition to me. And you're not saying that from an arrogant place, but just from a place of, again, inevitability, because you've grown, you've evolved, and you're so sure, solid, and confident in it. You don't have to pretend like you haven't evolved. Number four, you can say the new number without flinching, justifying, or softening, even if someone meets you with hesitation, objections, or even ghosting. You don't make that mean anything about yourself and you don't spiral. And that is when you know you're congruent, because then you're not performing the new price or for the new price. You're simply reflecting it. You're letting it reflect you and your caliber. And premium buyers can feel the difference. So how do you actually build this internal inevitability, not the fake confidence? It's not by practicing saying the number in the mirror, not by acting as if, fake it until you make it. You get there by doing the internal work that makes the new price the only logical outcome. And here's what that looks like. As a first step, normalize what your market hasn't normalized yet. I'm not saying just because you raise your price, you need to adjust your delivery like crazy. I very often have actually raised my prices and then took away features from the delivery because of the following things. For example, if you're charging 3K for your service right now, but you want to charge 10K and upwards, you need to ask yourself, what have I mastered that the 3K version of me hadn't? What standards am I holding myself and my clients to now that I wasn't before, but that come with a premium ROI? And what level of clients am I equipped to hold now that I couldn't hold before? What dimension of ROI can I open up to someone that I couldn't or didn't before? And if the answer is nothing or not much has changed, I just want to charge more, respectfully, you're not ready. And I would advise you to not raise your price, because the price raise will very likely collapse. And that is not me imposing a limitation onto you. That is me coming from love for you and your clients and also your brands. Because while we don't have to be robotically perfect, flawless, and can never make mistakes, if we go out there with a certain price that we then can't hold and it collapses, that can do damage to our reputation and our brand. And we don't want that. Another factor in creating internal inevitability is upgrade your proximity. If you want to charge 10K, but you're surrounding yourself with people that think this is a lot or horrendous even, then your nervous system will always regulate to your environments, or it's going to be really exhausting to always self-generate the energy to not let yourself be affected by that. There is this cliche quote, and you know it. You are the sum of the five people you surround yourself with. And that also goes for upgrades and elevations in your business, in your brands. The third factor in building the internal inevitability is stop over-delivering out of guilt. And I'm telling you from experience, from it having been proven over and over again, from me being a premium buyer and actually able to rely that onto you. Very often when I see someone over delivering, that is a turn off. Your over delivery is attractive for lower caliber people who see a lot of value in more is more, but for premium buyers, that is a turn off. And leave me a comment if you would like me to record a separate episode on the psychology of over-delivering and how that actually is a turnoff for premium buyers, because I am ready to speak about that as well. What I will say is that premium isn't about giving more for the sake of giving more. It's about giving the right things at the right standard to the right people at the right price point. And so let's look at what happens when you raise your price too soon to really lay out all eventualities. What I see all the time is that someone raises their price before they're energetically congruent with it, before the internal inevitability has been solidified. They get yeses, new clients at that new price point, but then again, they overdeliver out of guilt and then start resenting the client or the work. I've had that before with a client of mine who I knew loved working one-on-one until at a certain point, she started really hating and resenting it and wanted to unplug from live proximity and one-on-one proximity as much as possible. And that raised my curiosity. And I had a conversation with her about that instead of just being like, oh yeah, that's valid. Just unplug. We will just create more passive offers. If your coach never questions you, I would highly advise you to change your coach. Because my job, my responsibility is to question you actually, to uncover whether you're moving from light or shadow, from expansion or contraction, limitation, fear, and scarcity. Because in the long run, that will clap back. And so we found out that she was over-delivering out of guilt. She was thinking she owes constant availability because she raised her price. All these things came up and then we cleaned that up. And then she ended up being the most fulfilled in her one-on-one coachings, mentorings, consultations, and continued to raise her price without the guilt, without the over-delivering, and opened up the ceiling that she imposed on herself. What also happens is that you might tolerate bad client behavior just because they paid a lot and the client is king or queen. But then you also find yourself resenting the clients for not appreciating the work, while in fact you just didn't impose clear boundaries and showed up with firm leadership. Because at the end of the day, that is our work as the service provider, to lead the client, not to throw a tantrum when they don't behave the way that we want to or overstep boundaries. Okay, but have you enforced this boundary? Not just communicated it, but also upheld it on your side. And here's another link to a previous episode. Assumptions matter as well. When someone, a client, oversteps your boundary, do you immediately assume malicious intent, that they don't respect you? Or can you just record that as an oopsie, probably haven't been clear or firm enough in my leadership, and I can just clean that up and clear it up and have a conversation if needed, or just adjust behavior. Period. That's it. And another thing, when people raise their prices too soon, panic comes up when the pipeline slows down and then they start discounting. The next flash sale, the next, this is 50% off for a limited time. And then people are stuck in a worse place than before, actually, when they raise their price before they are actually ready, because they're charging more now, but feeling less congruent. And most often, the price raise didn't fail because the market wasn't ready. It failed because the service provider wasn't. And the only way out is to go back and do the internal work that was skipped. So to summarize all of this, let us go into the 10 signs that you're ready to raise your price and the 10 signs you're not. You're ready to raise your price when charging less feels like lying, feels like self-betrayal. You're bored by clients at your old price. You can say the new number without softening. You don't justify your value, neither verbally nor by throwing in more bonuses, more features, more add-ons. You've upgraded your proximity, who you're learning from, who you're surrounded by. You're no longer over-delivering out of guilt. You can actually hold silence in a sales conversation. You have normalized something your market hasn't. Saying no to old price clients feels easy, not scary. And you don't put the new caliber of standards and clients on a pedestal. You see them eye to eye and not as someone or something to be intimidated of. Now, the 10 signs you're not ready. You're still comparing yourself to people at your old price. You panic when someone ghosts after seeing or hearing the price or goes silent. You immediately offer payment plans or discounts. This is a big one as well, and a sneaky one sometimes, because we think, oh, it's just common practice to offer a payment plan or stretch it out. But what if you just named the painful price and only responded to potential payment plans when the client asks? Why do you offer that first? Why do you assume they can't pay in full? Great indicator that internal solidity wants to be anchored in more before raising a price. Fourth indicator you're not ready. You're justifying the price before anyone even asks. We charge that because this and this and this and this and this is included. There's a frantic, panicky-like feeling that you radiate and broadcast. Fifth indicator, you feel guilty charging it. Sixth, you're over-delivering to prove it's worth it. Seven, you're surrounded by people who think your new price is a lot and it affects you. Number eight, you haven't actually changed how you work or the standards you operate at. You just want to charge more. And especially if you just want to charge more because you're resenting your current reality, current clients, current caliber, current standards. Price raises happen out of love and out of self-respect, out of respecting the new level of evolution that has landed. Ninth indicator you're not ready. You're avoiding sales conversations because you're scared to say the number, and you sabotage sales. You actually don't show up as much anymore because internally you don't feel confident with the new price tag. And number 10, you're still tolerating shitty client behavior just because they paid. So that gave you an in-depth glimpse into the psychology and mechanics of price raises the premium way. So before you raise your price, ask yourself, would I feel like I'm betraying myself if I charged less? If the answer is yes, work on raising it. If the answer is I want to, but I'm scared, then don't. Not yet the time. Solidify internally. Build that inevitability first. And then the price raise is no longer a stretch or a leap of faith. It's just a logical next step. And this feeling of naturalness and of coarseness, that is your compass. That is what you look for, what you want to feel in order to determine, are you ready to raise your price or not?